And if you are not spending time with God, if you are not being intimate with God, then that means that, you know, we wonder why we get sour and cranky and we have bad attitudes and why we get short with other people. You know, I find, man, when I'm walking with God and I'm intimate with God, I got a whole lot of patience for knuckleheads and foolishness. Because God speaks to my heart. And God says, look, man, you need to be patient. You know, just calm down.
Greetings, radio friends. Welcome to this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor at Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program, where we will have the conclusion of the message, The Mountain of Intimacy with God. Before we begin our message today, let me again extend to you an offer that we've been making available to our listening audience. It's my book, Touched by the Breath of God, where we offer an apologetic for the Bible. This book is written to help believers be able to stand up against the attacks of the Bible. Get your copy of Touched by the Breath of God by contacting us here at the Anchored in Jesus Radio Ministries. Now for the conclusion of the Mountain of Intimacy with God.
It's because we're not connecting with God. All right. Let me share with you three things before I get. See, I'm not in the message right now. I'm going to get in the message here in a second. Three things. People who are intimate with God, right? People who are intimate with God, there are characteristics about their lives. You know, I like this Indian proverb, and it says, do not dance in public without first dancing in private. In other words, you know, if you're not sure if you can do the Macarena, or if you're not sure if you can do the Hokey Pokey, right, then before you get out in the public and start stumbling over yourself, you better get in the private and say, you put your left foot in, you take your left foot out, you better understand that, right? Okay, so here's my joke for today. Right, you know, the guy that invented the Hokey Pokey, he died when he was 94 years old. And, you know, they sent reporters to report on his service. And it said that the problem came when they tried to put him in the casket, because they put his left foot in. All right. Man, my sermons would probably be a lot more shorter if I'd leave all this. All right. So, you know, you don't dance in public without first, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, you're able to do this, right? And people who have danced with God in private, people who have been intimate with God in private, there's three things that we know about them. Three things that we know that when you are intimate with God in private, the first thing is that you take great stands for God. That you stand up for God. That when you've been intimate with God and you know the heart of God and you know what God wants, and then you see it and you see it being violated, that you stand up. You take great stands for God. Just think about it. I know when I was growing up, we did this thing. It's called, and some of you young people might not know this term, but I know some people around my age know this term. It's called capping, right? Y'all remember capping? And so what was capping? You know, capping was when you started talking about each other, right? You said, I'm going to cap on this person. Right? I'm going to cap on them, right? So you said, man, you got a big head. And then, and you got beaver teeth, and you got big feet, and you got smelly armpits, right? You just go back and forth, right? Until somebody says, and your mother. Oh, no. Oh, no. We could laugh, and we could joke, and we could go back and forth, but man, you better not talk about my mama. Why? Why? Because, again, let me throw back another word. That's my raise, man. That's the person that raised me. That's the person that carried me for 9 months. That's the person that nurtured me, you know, through those early years. That's the person that makes sure that I got, man, don't talk about my mother. Why? There's a great stand. You stand up, right? And people who've been intimate with God, people that know God, they stand up for him. They don't back down. They stand up for what's right. They stand up because they want to do what represents the person that they're in love with, the person that they've been intimate with. The second thing we see is that people who have been intimate with God, they make great sacrifices for God. They make great sacrifices for God. That when you love God, that when you love God, you know, there's no issue about anything that God asks you to do. That you are willing to make a sacrifice for him, right? That when I've been in the presence of my Heavenly Father, and we've connected on a heart-to-heart, a spirit-to-spirit basis, I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And there's no arguing. There's no going back and forth. But you are ready to make the sacrifice. You know, we all have heard the song, when a man loves a woman. When a man loves a woman, he'll spend his very last dime trying to hold on to what he needs. He'll give up all his creature comforts and even sleep out in the rain. Right? Because why? He loves this person. Now, how many brothers gonna sleep out in the rain? Right? Right? Okay. See, man, we're gonna start the men's fellowship back up again. And I'm gonna tell you brothers that I'm setting you up, right? I'm gonna tell you brothers when I'm setting you up. Because when I said, when a man loves a woman, he'll sleep out in the rain, and all the men said, that was kind of weak, man. That was kind of weak, all right? But he'll make that sacrifice. You know why? Because he loves her. And when people have been intimate with God and when they know God, they will stand up for him. And then we see that they will render great service for God. And, you know, I don't care whether it's on a national level or on a community level. You know, people that know God have had great impacts on the world and even in their community and even in their family. So that's people who have been intimate with God. We've been talking about this idea of mountains, right? Jesus went up into a mountain frequently to pray. And when Jesus went up into the mountain, what was he doing? He was connecting with the Father. He was having that intimacy with the Father. Now, as I was looking at this, there seems to be a connection between mountains and intimacy with God. Notice, when Moses met God face to face, where was he at? He was on the mountain. Elijah, when God spoke to him in a still, small voice, where was he at? He was on the mountain. Jesus loved to go up into the mountain to spend time with the Father. Mark 6 and verse 46, Luke 6 and verse 12, and we read it today, John 6 and verse 15. So there's something about mountains. So I want to give this analogy, right? So here goes this analogy that I came up with, all right? The mountain of intimacy with God. The mountain of intimacy with God. Let's look at the people that were in Jesus' life at the time he walked the face of the earth, all right? There was the many who followed him, right? There was many people who were disciples of Jesus, and they followed him. but they weren't intimate with him. They followed him, but they weren't intimate, because the Bible says in John, well, I'm going to wait that to the next slide. But so the many people, then there was the 70 that Jesus called 70, and they went out and they did service. They cast out demons. They healed the sick, but they weren't intimate. Then he had the 12, right? His 12 disciples, and they had a little bit more degree of intimacy because he was able to spend some time with them. But, you know, keep in mind, even the 12, there was one who was making no connection at all. We know who that was. It was Judas, right? And then there was the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, right? And they had more intense fellowship with Jesus. And then we have the one who leaned on Jesus' breast, the disciple who Jesus loved. And he was the most intimate with Jesus Christ. Now, Christ had intimacy with Peter, James, and John and the 12, but just think, John had an intimacy with Christ like no other had. And even when Jesus was dying on the cross, that he commended his mother to John. Wow, that's how intimate they were. And so, if you go to the next, well, stay right there. Go back again one more time. Look, you're as high on the mountain as you want to be. You are as high on the mountain as you want to be. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The closer you draw to God, the closer he's going to draw to you, and the more intimate you're going to be. All right, thank you. So, let's put this. Now, my scriptures are in red, so you can't see them. So I'll give them to you, right? You can, if you want to write them in. Like I said, if you want to request this PowerPoint, just let me know, and I will get it to you. All right? So we saw the 70, right? And they were disciples. The Bible calls them disciples. That he had many disciples, but there was absolutely no intimacy with Christ, right? For the most part, they were just crowds that followed him. And we saw the result of one of the crowds that followed him after he fed the 5,000. He wanted to make them a king, right? He wanted to make them a king. And so, let me give you that scripture in John 6:60 and John 6:66. Wow. That's something right there. John 6:66. So remember this, and you'll never forget this, right? You will never forget this. John 6:66. This is what it says. When Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and going to the cross dying, John 6:66 said, many of his disciples went away and followed him no more. It called them disciples. So these were followers at some point. But they had no intimacy. You know, the scary thing is that there are people probably sitting here today that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You would even go as far as saying that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. But there's no intimacy. There's no intimacy. So let's be honest. You know, going back to those set of questions, if you went down through all four of those questions and you looked at them like Moses, like Enoch, like, who else was there? I'm getting old, man. See, I'm out. Daniel and Elijah, right? Thank you, Mark. All right. Daniel and Elijah, right? And you're saying that, man, I'm not connecting at any level with him. You know, I'm not connecting on any level. Then you know what that means? That it's possible that you are a believer, but look where you are on the mountain. You're way down at the foot of the mountain. That there is... discipleship, following, but no intimacy, right? That you're here today because you want to be here as a part of the church, as a part of the body, at coming to a worship experience. But there's no intimacy. Second, a servant with no intimacy. A servant with no intimacy. And that's in John chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 7. And it says that he had 70. And notice this, that these 70 individuals, that he gave them power, and they went out, and they cast out demons, they healed the sick, they served him, they did miracles, but watch this. There was no intimacy, right? They never achieved the level of the others. They may have had some casual contact with Jesus. You know, maybe there was times Jesus went over and just, you know, tried to encourage him or something like that. But they had no ongoing intimacy with Christ. And you know what? It's possible for you to be usher. It's possible for you to sing in the choir. It's possible for you to be a trustee. It's possible for you to be a deacon or deaconess. It's possible for you to work in kids ministry. It's possible for you to serve food here and not be intimate with Christ. And not be intimate. Yo, could it be that sometimes that's why there's frictions in ministry, right? It's because we have too many servants with no intimacy. Wow. Too many servants and no intimacy. That we brush up against each other, we rub up against each other, and because we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we have prayer, that we should be able to work through some of these things. But we just bump up against each other because we are serving with no intimacy. Still at the lower part of the mountain. Then there is the intimate friend, right? And the 12 were friends of Christ because he said in John chapter 15, in verse 15, you know, I no longer call you servants. He bumped up his relationship. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you what? Friends. I call you friends. And so friends, the 12 had a little more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ because, you know, he walked with them and he talked with them and he taught them and there was those connections when they connected. But keep in mind that even with the 12 that he connected with, one of them was still a devil, right? One of them was still a devil. So you could actually arise to the point where you could pray great prayers, right? I mean, you come and somebody asks you to pray, oh, thou God, ruler of the universe from everlasting to everlasting, right? And God is nowhere around in that prayer, right? And so you may be a friend, but maybe the intimacy is not there. Oh, but now let's look a little bit higher up on the mountain, right? Higher up on the mountain, Jesus has some close friends. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8, he had some close friends, Peter, James, and John, that they were with Jesus on many occasions, and Jesus went to a whole nother level of intimacy with them as he shared with them and as he ministered to them. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we can stop at that level right there. But I want to go like Moses did. I want to go like Jesus did. You know, I want to go like Elijah did. I want to go to the top of the mountain. And what is at the top of the mountain? A deep, intimate friend. John 21 and verse 20. You know, it said that that John leaned on the breast of Christ. And leaning on the breast, that was a position at the right hand. Which means that, you know, when you were at somebody's right hand, that means that you were the closest to them that you could be when they were at your right hand. And then it said that he leaned his head on his breast. How much closer can you get than that? Man, that's where, you know, I want to be. You know, I want to be with Jesus in intimacy. I want to be with him in intimacy. You know, I don't want to be, as one songwriter said, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be in with Jesus. I want to be intimate with him. And I don't know about you, but again, I want to be one of those individuals that does great things for God. And as I do great things for God, I know that it's going to be birthed out of my intimacy with him. You know, yesterday, driving up to Evans City reminded me of another time that God just spoke to my heart. Because when I drove up to Evans City yesterday, I turned the radio off. Usually I got the radio on. But see, that's that noise in the background, right? And I just said, Lord, speak to my heart. You know, as I drove up there, I knew I was going to have an hour just of uninterrupted time. You know, just pray that you don't deal with any crazy people out there on the road, right? You know, that's your prayer. But other than that, I knew it was going to be uninterrupted time. Just fellowshipping, driving down the turnpike, fellowshipping, driving up 79, and just speaking to the Father and letting him speak to me. And that it was just such a blessing. And I remember the other time that I did it. I was coaching football at Liberty University, and my recruiting area was Atlanta. And it was about, from Lynchburg, it was about a 6.5-8 hour ride, somewhere in there. All depends how fast you drive, right, TL? You know about that, right? All right. Somebody told me you made it in four. No, I'm just kidding. and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, turn the radio off. You know, I'm saying, Lord, but this is, you know, a 6-7 hour trip. He said, turn the radio off. And I turned the radio off, and man, God just began to pour in my spirit. I'm a football coach, right? I am a football coach, coaching at a university, right? And God, he says that, you know, I want you to get a doctorate degree. He said, you know, I want you to I want you to be a pastor of a church, and I want you to teach at a college. Did I tell you, I'm a football coach, right? I'm a football coach. And all those things came true. You know, shortly after that, I rolled into a doctoral program, and I was able to get my doctorate degree. It was not long after that where I became a professor at Liberty University, and I taught Old Testament. And y'all know the last part, right? Y'all know the last part, right? God called me here to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to pastor Bethany Baptist Church. Now, you got to keep in mind, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. You got to keep this in mind, right? In 1989, my aunt passed away. And I hadn't been to Pittsburgh in a while. You know, I graduated back in the 70s. You know, when I left, man, steel mills were booming, right? Everything was flourishing. And then I came back for my aunt's funeral in 1989, and saw all these vacant lots, saw all these rundown buildings, saw my neighborhood in distress, and I got on the plane going back to Virginia, and I said to the Lord, no joke, I said to the Lord, I'm never coming back to Pittsburgh again. In July, now did I tell y'all that was in 89, right? In July of 1990, I preached my first sermon at Bethany Baptist Church. So two lessons that I learned out of that when you become intimate with God. Number one, God got a sense of humor. And number two, you never tell God what you're not going to do. You never tell God what you're not going to do.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join in next time for the first half of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Mountain of Intimacy with God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request a copy of The Mountain of Intimacy with God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Mountain of Intimacy with God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title for the radio program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. Now, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.